Congress comes together on a jobs bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Senate has advanced a $15 billion job creation bill put forward by Democrats. The political news is that five Republicans, including newly elected Scott Brown of Massachusetts, broke ranks to support the bill. But the business news is how a jobs bill would fit into the fledgling economic recovery. Marketplace's Gregory Warner joins us live with the story. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Bill.
The Senate vote makes the jobs bill very likely, but what about another stimulus package? Is that still in play?
Well, in fact, there's a meeting today about that on the Hill at the House Committee on Financial Services. And the message they're going to hear is really a two-parter. On one hand, the economy is doing great. The real GDP grew at 4% in the last half of 2009. And no coincidence that that growth followed the passage of the stimulus bill. But then here's the other side of the picture. Job growth is slow. And if it doesn't pick up, it could drag down the economy by summer. I spoke to Lawrence Mischel of the Economic Policy Institute. He'll be addressing the Congressional Committee later today, talking about the need to create jobs. And he says, look, in March of 2009, there was a greater loss of jobs that month than in any month since the Great Depression.
And we were in such a deep hole that even when you did a lot to get us out of it, we didn't get all the way. Now we have to finish the job.
So finishing the job, Gregory, isn't that what the Senate just voted to do yesterday?
Well, sure, and that's a $15 billion bill, and the centerpiece of that bill is a program to give businesses exemptions from payroll taxes when they hire new workers. The Congressional Budget Office estimates this could create an additional 80 to 180,000 jobs across the country. But some say that's not enough, and $15 billion ain't a lot of money these days. And so what people are going to be telling Congress is it's not enough.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Unemployment and debt are making for a shaky recovery around the world. In Europe, stocks are 0.5% lower this morning. A survey of German business confidence dropped for the first time in 10 months. Asian shares were mixed earlier in the day. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost almost 19 points, closed at 10,383. This morning, Target releases quarterly earnings, one of many retail chains reporting this week. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins says retailers still have some convincing to do to get customers back into stores.
Remember this Target ad?
Expect more, pay less.
Retail consultant Bert Flickinger says Target now wants its customers to expect a lot more. Think Costco.
Target's trying to lower its price image by adding big bulk warehouse items.
Flickinger says the strategy may help, but Costco will probably remain the king of 36-pack toilet paper. He says stores have to push bargain items to bring in buyers. Take Saks Incorporated, which reports earnings tomorrow. Its high-end stores, Saks Fifth Avenue, have recently been promoting affordable brands from the likes of, say, Michael Kors. Daniel Butler is with the National Retail Federation.
Every retailer is looking at the consumer's perception that has evolved, and the consumer now is more focused on, is this product a good price for the value?
And he expects consumers to remain frugal for many more months. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services.
Right now, I am looking at the hugely popular website I Can Has Cheeseburger. It's basically a stream of cat photos with captions. Here's a kitty being bathed against its will and saying, "I vehemently protest this intrusive moisture upon my person." A Seattle entrepreneur named Ben Ha owns this and dozens of humor sites where the content comes from the masses and the profits go to investors. Millions of dollars in ad revenue, licensing fees, and merchandise sales. He calls it the Cheeseburger Network. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. You've said you're in the time-wasting business.
That's right.
Why should I waste time with your content instead of wasting time with YouTube videos?
You know, that's a great question. There's no reason for us to favor one over the other, but what we want to make sure is that we provide reliable content every day that's going to make you laugh. Right. So YouTube is a vast repository of videos that may or may not be great. Whereas when we editorially curate the featured stuff on the homepages, which is what most people see, we're taking care to make sure that the 5 minutes that you spend on our sites are actually going to be spent well.
And to do that, you're digging through how many submissions, let's say, on I Can't Hash Cheeseburger?
So actually, across the network total, across the Cheeseburger Network, we receive about 13,000 submissions each day.
Every day.
Every single day. And we have half the companies actually dedicated to managing that community, sifting through those pieces of content so that they're appropriate and to post the best onto the sites. And we know which ones are good, not because we decide that they're good, but because the users vote on each other's submissions and say, this one's funny, this one's not.
So are the people you hire, are they specialists in any way? I mean, do they have to have a certain humor or are they just aggregators?
They absolutely have no special skill set in a traditional job sense. But what we do look for is we look for a understanding of what we call internet culture. So when we hire these people, it's not the age, it's not where you went to school, it's not any of that. It's that how do you live on the internet? Do you see it as a tool that you use to go find information? Or is the internet your primary source of popular culture? And that's what we look for.
How sick are you of people saying, ugh, funny cat captions? Give me a break.
You know, I'm actually not, because I know that's so much more for us to grow into. It's just a sign that we haven't done our job fully yet, and there's a lot more left to do.
Ben Ha owns the Cheeseburger Network. Thank you.
Thank you.
And this week, the finalists were named for Britain's Diagram Prize, celebrating the oddest book title of the year. Contenders include Collectible Spoons of the Third Reich, The Changing World of Inflammatory Bowel Disease, Afterthoughts of a Worm Hunter, and What Kind of Bean is This Chihuahua? Next month, they will announce the winner. And hopefully tell us what kind of bean this chihuahua is, because now I'm curious. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.